Get Carmen and Yurko Pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Danny, Jeff, JR, Hoodie and I back. It might be 5 a.m. tomorrow if it's a Bears bonanza if we get a coach or GM or both today.
And Crosstalk brought to you by the fine folks
at Club Hawthorne, off-track betting bars from Hoffman Estates to Crestwood, from Chicago to Aurora to Prospect Heights. Hawthorne has more than a dozen OTBs, puts you close to the action every day.
Carmen Yurko, bah, 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 bah.
Oh, what's like up, that. Fellas?
I like that.
I like that, too.
A little Satchmo.
For that's what Satchmo. That little Satchmo. That's exactly. Right. That was.
How about that?
That's Satchmo. Carmen. Satchmo paid.
That's Carmen coming on into the restaurant and Satchmo's playing. Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Is you ain't my baby.
That's a little Satchmo for you. How about that? How about that, guys? How about that?
What's up?
We might get a new GM here.
I think so.
In your show.
Stand by.
It sounds like
my
it.
My guy, the Uber driver, George McCaskey, was out there with a big U on his car picking up candidates last night.
How do you know
night?
It wasn't Lyft?
Who could have been. Could have been. I'm just guessing.
Maybe George is a Lyft guy.
Could be Uber guy.
And then he went and picked up his bag for him. Yeah, I'll get the bag.
Well, this is a first-class organization.
That's right.
You don't have to carry your own bags, Ryan Poles.
Top notch.
Honest to God, if it wasn't for TVs being HD, I'd swear we're living in 1968.
Yeah.
Who does that?
I don't know.
You're picking up. Going inside.
No.
Carm, he picked him up inside the airport.
All right, just
who
look.
Does that?
Is it a nice touch? Or is it
with a side? Poles.
Well, wait. How do most teams do it? Who do they send?
Robert
they send
Lewandowski
someone from
comes
PR.
In, says I'm Polish.
Most like he can tell you like when Lincoln Riley Brian Kitt, they send jets for them. They drop them off at Chicago Executive, and a limo comes in
on
a jet
that.
Plane.
I could see that.
You know, in the cloak of darkness, though,
You can't hire net jets
when
wheels up.
Well, they could.
When Washington Redskins were recruiting Greg Blosch to be their defense coordinator, they sent a jet. They sent
Daniel Snyder. So do you think if Robert Kraft has to replace Belichick at some point, because Belichick's going to...
If he's not promoting within?
I guess he's going to hire
Patriot
him. But
No.
Do they send the Patriots jet?
Patriot One is in the air.
Yes. When they had to go get masks when the pandemic started, he donated his jet.
The Bears don't have a jet.
Jump in my Ford Granada.
He also said free massages for everyone.
Oh, a craft,
yes,
for sure. Yeah.
Free massages for everyone.
Happy endings for all.
He was in the
that's
airport.
That's the name of his plane, Happy Endings.
Happy Endings.
I knew that.
He was in the airport. The guy called the show,
Eric. I saw that.
Did you hear that?
I saw the picture.
No, did you see the guy calling who took it?
No, I didn't see that.
He listens every morning. He's... Bone Homes, B-O-H-N Homes. He is
a
real estate guy.
He
said, I'm coming back from a ski trip. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that that's the chairman?
Unbelievable.
He wasn't wearing a big enough mask.
You're going inside the airport with the sign.
Poles.
Hi, I'm George.
Poles.
Lake Walesa showed up.
And then
Ryan! It's me!
Let me get your bag for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, at that point, that's the least you can do, right? You better grab the bag. If you're going there to pick them up, I mean, you should at least grab the bag.
Why?
As long as they get the right guy. I don't care.
I don't care
how
either.
It's done.
I know.
I don't care if it's amateur hour at the Apollo. I don't care how bad it looks.
Most of what they do is amateur hour, but I don't care.
All I want is the right guy to be chosen. That's all I'm looking for. I don't care how it's done. I don't care if it's by accident.
I understand, but first class is first class.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope he flew first class.
No, that's not what I mean.
Oh, sorry.
I hope they put him in
first class.
Spirit Air, Carm.
Where's
the
bull?
Do we have to pay for a seat, too?
Where's the bull when you need
remember they brought they brought the bull or Benny. I think they brought Benny.
I don't know.
Benny and the cheerleaders to the airport.
Catch the Spirit.
The only thing that was missing.
Spirit Airline.
The only thing that was missing yesterday was the bull with a big bag of weed.
Yeah. The bull got arrested. They threw him in the clink.
Troublemaker. Listen, we don't do it right in Chicago when we're recruiting people, We don't know how to do it.
York, we don't live in...
Crumbs is over there with the everything bagel all over him.
We don't live in Minot, North Dakota. It's a world-class city.
Sometimes it feels like Minot, Minnesota, doesn't it?
North Dakota.
North Dakota, Minnesota, Montana.
Fargo. Do you remember the...
Brainerd.
Do you remember the secrecy that was around the Theo hiring?
I do. Yeah, it was at Starbucks.
And nobody would acknowledge anything until some guy called Paul Sullivan and said, hey, I was at Starbucks, and there's a guy in line, and he said to him, are you Theo Epstein? Nope.
No. Liar.
Nope.
I love Theo. No,
get his wife a coffee.
I am not. No.
I'm not. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know who that is.
I've been made. You needed that coffee, huh? Yeah.
But, you know, on the other side of it, as we say, we admit this openly, right? If this is Mark Cuban, if it's Theo.
Yeah, he's sending
boy, gregarious. Well, you got to love that, man. I mean, he's going in and picking up his guy.
Yeah.
Making sure that Minnesota or the Raiders don't pick him up. But because it's George in his varsity jacket, right? because he's freaking Archie from the comic strip, right?
Yeah.
There he is in his
Letterman's jacket.
His Letterman's jacket, right?
Jughead
McCaskey.
Do we know what George is driving?
I think he has a pickup.
Ford Granada.
No, I think he has, seriously, a pickup.
I think he's got a GMC Sierra 1500.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I'm going Chevy Silverado.
Navy blue.
Hey, York, when it gets in, he puts the GM key in.
No muffler.
It's old. No Cadillac converter.
Oh, this is a model before Cadillac converters. It's got cop tires, cop brakes.
Pulls down the parental.
Exactly.
Puts it that's a scene from the Blues Brothers.
In a drive, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scene from the Blues Brothers. Right before they jumped the 95th Street Bridge.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
They didn't even stop for shrimp.
No.
They should have.
Oh, you better. You better be stopping
for
shrimp.
How many times I fish down there?
Tell you that much.
Right there at the canal?
Yeah, you go down on the canal, you go down and you position yourself, probably about 60 fishermen down there when the perch are biting, kid.
This time of year is the best.
When the perch are biting, boy, I'm telling you, good times.
Get some nice crappie right before the spring.
Good fish.
Oh, I bet.
Good eating.
Yep. I saw Chauncey's last weekend.
How's Chaunce doing?
Chauncey's report last week said the fishermen are pulling them out 10 at a time.
It limits 15, so they better be 10 at a time because you got to stop at 15.
He said they're going crazy.
You got to go back to the boat. You got to disappear. I mean, back to the car, disappear, then come back again and get your next 15.
Big as your hand or...
Well, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, like that.
Crappie as big as your hand.
Yeah.
Perch are big dogs, those. Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Lake perch.
Yeah.
Mm. Gotta be careful, though. You got to put the pregnant ones back, the females.
Did you guys... Are you guys on the side of changing the overtime rules in the NFL? Or are you like, buddy, now we're okay?
I'd be fine with it. Like, if they wanted to just play in the playoffs 15 minutes, not sudden death, I'm cool with that.
So Tony Dungy just gave his proposal. For those who want to change the OT rules, how about this below?
Dungy.
Win the toss... And you get the choice of starting at your own 5-yard line or you go on defense. It would even things out somewhat. Offense would get the ball, but defense has field position and a chance to win the game with a safety.
So the field position, special teams matter all day except in overtime when we don't care about special teams anymore. What about the great David Williams returning a kickoff in overtime for a touchdown?
Bears.
We're just going to ignore that. We're going to ignore special teams.
Thanksgiving. Jiggets.
Bears.
Let's remember. Special teams is 1/6.
Bears.
1/6 of the game.
Ravy.
It's 1/6. Yeah, it's about 1/6.
Special teams is 1/6 of the game.
I'll give you that.
Buffon.
I don't know if I like starting on your 5. I mean, boy, that's you're putting
And somebody put Tony to bed for a while.
I would play it 15 minutes.
I've had enough thoughts out of old Indianapolis Colts personnel, okay? And that includes Polian over
Listen,
here.
Here's what
Polian
I would say.
Polian and Tony Dungy. Enough already.
Here's what I'd say. Instead of getting gimmicky like that, in the playoffs, 15 minutes, not sudden death. If it's still tied... Which it probably won't be, but if it is,
penalty kicks.
If it is,
penalty kicks.
I would then
bring the soccer ball.
Then obviously you'd have to go to a sudden death scenario, and you're subject to a coin toss again. But if you can't win the game in 5 quarters, okay, then I'm not going to feel as bad for you. That's what I would say. Well, and then eventually,
I don't feel bad for Buffalo at all.
I feel a little bad for Josh Allen.
13 seconds, they moved the ball 50 yards.
What did he do?
I don't care.
I mean, did he deserve to lose that? And I know deserves got nothing to do with it, but I mean, geez.
It's his fault that he lost.
How is it Josh Allen's fault?
Why'd he score so soon?
He chose tails.
Damn right.
Why'd he score so soon?
His only mistake of the day, he chose tails. What
poor bastard.
What moron takes tails in his spot?
Can't do tails.
He takes heads every time. Right?
I usually go with stands on its edge.
It's the best scene.
Hold on.
From No Country for Old Men. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
You never seen that? Have you guys seen it?
All right.
Yeah, you know, the quarter dime, nickel, and a penny.
Right. You know the scene from No Country when he's in the... Yeah. The best scene is when he's got the... He's intimidating the hell out of the gas, right. The gasoline shop
sure,
owner.
Sure.
He's telling
trying
him to call
to decide
him.
Whether he's going to live
the guy's life is coming down to a coin flip.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be in that situation.
50-50 usually.
Right? Call
that's
it.
Ahead.
You've
got to
call it, friendo.
Right.
Here, come here.
Give me the quarter. Hold on.
Give me the quarter.
Here, I'm going to do it. Right here. Ready?
Go ahead.
Call it, friendo. Tails. And the guy's asking, well, I got to know what's at stake. Everything.
Everything.
Tails. You
thank
lose.
You. I win.
Your life's over.
Let me have
he
one.
Literally makes the I'm guy alive. You're call dead. It for his life.
I'm going heads.
All right, ready? Call it, friendo.
Heads.
Cap, everything's at stake.
Heads.
You lose.
Tails.
You die.
You two guys
this
are dead.
Point. This
you
is how they're
hey,
that's
why
I feel.
You know what?
That's why I feel bad for Josh Allen.
Two-tail coin there next spot.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Two-tail coin. That's cheating.
I got to redo my deal, Merkin. I'm going to be doing a five-hour gig now.
This is what I'm talking about. It's not fair for Josh Allen. That guy did everything and then some. What do you got, tails? What do you got, tails over there?
Yeah, it's tails. Finally tails. Came up tails.
Okay.
You guys keep the 41 cents. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, Yerk.
I'm here for you.
That's the end of your contract, though.
Oh, I went over to Chick-fil-A today, guys.
Yeah.
Went over to Chick-fil-A, got some chicken and egg sandwiches.
Yeah.
The top biscuit, I could have donated to the Blackhawks.
Put the biscuit in the basket,
yeah.
Eh?
I tossed one over put to Randy Merkin. I almost gave him a concussion. It went through his hands and hit him in the head. I almost concussed the poor man.
God.
Bricks. What, bricks.
Where did that come from?
Like, yeah, I just looked across at Chick-fil-A and I decided
Chick-fil-A.
To that I had a little Chick-fil-A, and their biscuits are made from bricks.
Their biscuits are usually good. They make them in the morning.
I'll tell you
not
one
today.
Thing. It might have been made from bricks, but I'll tell you what. You have to readjust because of the nice service they give you.
Yeah. It was
you're
exceptional.
You're not used to getting an FU on the other side from Northwest Indiana.
Yeah. No,
they are friendly.
They are friendly. I will tell you, though. This
friendly service.
Yeah. A little honey on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Are they
yeah.
all
you saw a little
closed
honey over
on
there?
Sundays,
yeah.
every one
they're
of them?
They're all closed on Sunday. Even the one in Atlanta Stadium. Right? The one on game day in Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz Dome, if I understand it correctly, is closed on Sundays.
Yes.
And yes, they are. They're
then why would you go
honey.
Into a stadium where?
Well, because he's
your
got
biggest crowds are football games.
SEC, yeah,
SEC games.
Saturday. SEC,
yeah,
Southeast Conference. They play some pretty good football down there, Jonathan.
My guess is they're using that building for a
I don't
lot
know if you've
too,
noticed.
Not just on Sundays. So
I don't know if you follow.
They don't use
college football.
They don't use that building on Saturdays.
I don't know.
The Bulldogs don't play there.
Well, no, somebody's got
Georgia plays in Athens.
The championship game's there.
Just the one game.
My guess is they're using that stadium for a lot.
Does the Rambling Wreck play there?
No, just
no.
Like,
they might play a one-off. They have the world's largest cocktail parties there now, isn't it?
No,
that's in Jacksonville.
That's in Jacksonville.
That's in Jacksonville. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What they have there is an extravaganza of historically black colleges and universities.
I'm guessing
that
they
play
yeah.
like a 2-3 game,
maybe. Yeah.
Thing, but it's only on one weekend. It's not every single.
I'm guessing there's a handful of SEC games, and then there's every other day. You know, there's concerts and all the other stuff that they do to fill up the building.
But you want that thing open every week. If you could, but
well,
it's only 17 Sundays.
How many Sundays is it? Nine. It's nine Sundays.
Yeah. Nine Sundays tops.
Good deal.
Plus the preseason, but that's on Saturday.
Yeah.
So they're selling.
So I do think it makes some sense because that building's open for business a lot of the days of the year.
Technically, it's 52 Sundays. So anytime they would have a Sunday event, it's going to be closed.
No, I just mean for the Falcons, though.
Gentlemen, they've got a corporate structure and they've got principle. Their principle is we're not open on Sundays.
He probably doesn't care because he's got rolling in the loot anyway.
Blank?
No. The guy who started. Think what Chick-fil-A's got to be worth at this point. To him, it's probably like, so it's closed for nine of the. Yeah. I mean, probably doesn't care.
You know, I'm halfway through, actually. You guys ever listen to the podcast Business Wars?
No.
One of their most recent ones is KFC versus Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Five-episode series.
Well, how do you go get... Come on, the Colonel. I mean, you know.
Business Wars is a good podcast.
Do you know KFC started in Utah?
I heard you guys talk about that last week. That's true? KFC started in Utah? Was the Colonel a Mormon?
It's where the first chicken's from.
The first chicken.
Yeah. UFC.
Yeah, he's a long time Latter Day Saint, first time caller.
Yeah, first time Colonel. Long time Latter Day Saint.
As in because the chicken loves salt water in the Salt Lake City.
How could the Colonel's from Utah, not Kentucky? Is this for real?
No, the first chicken franchise, the KFC franchise, occurred in Utah. The guy who made the recipe was just, wanted to find a way to cook chicken and to sell it.
Wow.
And so it was a marketing ploy.
No kidding.
The Colonel is
a
dreamed up marketing ploy, and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, the Colonel
could have been fried chicken from anywhere.
He is part of the Pentaveret, right? The Queen, the Vatican, the Rothschilds. Who else? There's one. And Colonel Sanders before he went tits up.
We're out of here.
Did you ever see Green Book?
Yes. Oh, it's great.
Yes.
There's a great Kentucky Fried Chicken scene in that movie.
There is a great Kentucky Fried Chicken scene in that movie.
Yes, there is.
Agreed.
Yes, there is.
Great movie.
Have a great show.
See you, boys. Bye.
All right. Out of here. Keep it locked on ESPN 1000. You'll hear the breaking news sounder if the Bears do indeed hire a GM or coach today.
We're so excited.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Next chapter in Bears history. Let's hope it's better than the previous chapters. Ryan Poles could get the job today as the new general manager. The Bears could be zeroing in on Dan Quinn to be the head coach. Still some moving parts, but we will keep you abreast.
We appreciate that, Carm.
Of the situation.
Right? This is where it's going to happen. 10 to noon here, Carm. 10 to noon here. This is where the information is going to be given out. That's what we plan on doing.
If there's breaking news, we'll bring it to you. We'll try to let you know who Ryan Poles is, what his qualifications are, what maybe some of his weaknesses might be, because he's young and he's never negotiated contracts. So we'll talk about all of it. And you're welcome to join us as always. 312-332-3776. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Productive night last night. Watch the Bulls win. They should have never been in a one-point game at the end or in a three-point game. I mean, ever, because they were up by 28. They've got a bad habit of opening up like 30-point leads
and then going
against Oklahoma City and then almost losing.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they did once lose one of those.
Going to sleep a little bit too early.
Yeah, but Io continues to be a revelation. That's fantastic. Unfortunately, it wasn't so good for the Hawks. I watched the third period of the Hawks.
I watched the Hawks game. I was from our show that watched the Hawks game last night.
Yeah, not good.
Good first period, Carm. It was a good first period.
That's what I heard.
They had their chances.
The first was good.
They had two power play opportunities. They couldn't capitalize. Hell, one time they couldn't even get the first penalty. They couldn't even get in the zone. But they did create some chances, and they had some opportunities, some point-blank opportunities. They just couldn't find a way to beat the goaltender. You score zero goals, you cannot win.
No, you can't.
Okay, and, I mean, guys look good individually at times, but ultimately they give up two goals and they lose.
When that was all over, I watched episode one, season four of Ozark. Yes. Yes. Ozark is back.
Don't
get
away.
People went, no, I won't. Most people went nuts watching it all weekend. I know Abdallah watched all seven episodes of I think they did this in two parts, right?
Correct. Season four?
Correct. Yeah, season four. They whacked it up. Seven and then seven. He watched, I don't know if Whitney watches it with him. I'm assuming maybe she does. They watched the whole thing. And when Sylvie and Waddle said, geez, you watched all seven, he goes, hey, we don't have kids. So they watched football and seven episodes of Ozark. I was like, damn, not bad. They powered through all seven. He said it was just okay.
And the 2 minutes it does take to make love, it's fine. You can do that at a little break. Please.
Yeah.
To a break. Boom. Yeah. Oh, we're done. Let's go.
That was the big joke going around. You see that over the weekend? Next time, you know, your wife tells you 13 seconds isn't enough. That was the big joke. Because of Kansas City? Yeah. Yeah. Funny. And as Abdallah, I said, no, 13 seconds is Whitney. It's more than enough.
Come on.
I think we've all used that line in the past. What do you mean? 13 seconds? Come on. That's plenty of time. That's ample time.
Ample time. You're responsible for bringing your own funk to the game.
I said to my
wife. F-U-N-K, by the way.
I said to my wife on Sunday morning, when did the snow come? Saturday night into Sunday, right?
No, Sunday night. Oh, yeah, Saturday night and Sunday, yes.
Saturday night into Sunday?
Yeah, and then Sunday night into Monday. Yeah.
And I was like, it was like, I don't know, 5 in the morning or so, and I heard the plow going by a few times, so I'm thinking, ah, damn, you know, we definitely got some snow. My wife got out of bed first a couple hours later and said, how much snow? She goes, about an inch. I got up, I looked, I was like, about an inch. I'm like, there's 5 inches of snow out here.
So your wife can't tell the difference between 5 inches or an inch, huh?
What have you been telling her over the course of time?
I don't know. I was like,
it's more a reflection on you, I think, than Karen.
But yeah, the 13 seconds thing was funny. I saw a lot of that. I'm like, that's more than enough.
It would have been bad if she went out there, looked and said, well, that's 10 inches. And it was only 5. Then it would have been bad for you.
That's true. So the first episode was good. So productive Monday, and it could be a very productive day around these parts, like we said, as the Bears seem to be focused now on Ryan Poles. Who is he?
Ryan Poles.
Well, Ryan Poles would come here from the Kansas City Chiefs, Yurko.
Already 0-for-1 with people from Kansas City, but go ahead.
Oh, that is kind of true. He is the executive director of player personnel for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is just 36 years old. He went to Boston College. Waddle would be very happy.
BC.
Any thoughts on maybe Waddle getting a job in the front office because of the BC connection?
What about Waddle selling his house?
Oh, he's going to sell it to Ryan Poles. He was for a few years, Yurko, the assistant director of player personnel. He's also been the director of college scouting for the Kansas City Chiefs. So his background, obviously, here is in scouting. And from the things that have trickled out from Kansas City and the things that you hear about him from people in the know is that, yes, this man definitely has an eye for talent, something Ryan Pace did not have. What he does not have is the experience in dealing with and managing the salary cap, negotiating player contracts, dealing with agents. I mean, ideally, you'd like someone that could do all of those
things. Well-rounded in all aspects of the general manager job.
That's why it would have been nice had the Bears went out and found a president of football operations, someone like Trace Armstrong. Or I heard Sylvian Waddle talking yesterday about Omar Khan, who's also been interviewed, and has more of the business side of things down because he's done it so long inside the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. And that maybe they should hire Omar Khan to sort of be the president and let Poles use his scouting talents and his eye to be the general manager and help them pick the talent, both college and pro, that they're going to draft and sign. I don't think the Bears are going to hire two people here. I mean, they're going to hire a coach, but I don't think they're going to hire two front office people. I think it will be one. And is it fair to wonder how will he navigate through some of the uncharted waters when he does have to start dealing with agents and negotiating contracts? Remember, he's got nobody to go to. Can't go to George. George is just a fan.
That he is. Ted Phillips just a
Ted
fan.
Ted Phillips is not even going to be involved anymore. Can't go to Ted.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator. Yeah.
So who does he go to? Who's their cap guy? It's not still Cliff Stein, is it? Who is
there? Was guy? Cliff Stein for a long time. I don't know if Cliff's still with the organization.
Yeah, I think he is.
Is Cliff still
I'm
there?
I'm pretty sure I looked at their executives the other day.
So is that what you do? You go to Cliff to handle it? I mean, I suppose that's one option.
If he's your capologist.
Yeah, Cliff's kind of your negotiator and your cap.
I mean,
guru.
All you're basically looking at is you're getting kind of a rating of the player and then slotting him within the players in the league to know exactly where you have him and what range you should be paying him at.
Is it a problem that he's never done those types of things in the front office, Yerk, for him to now take a step to being the general manager?
I prefer that he have it, but if you got the right guy and he's the talent evaluator and he can draft better than, I mean, because really what I'm bringing in is general manager to acquire talent.
Right, I know.
You know, negotiate the contracts. I can have any bean counter do.
Talent acquisition,
hey,
yeah.
Let's slot him where we like him. Yeah. This is where what we think he needs.
Cliff Stein is still with the Bears organization. He's the SVP and general counsel.
There you go. All right, so maybe Cliff, and maybe there's even someone else in that department that we don't know about that helps negotiate those contracts. So maybe it is okay. This is, I don't think, one of the names that we heard early on, but it's one of the names that we're hearing a lot now, and a lot of times, as they like to say, where there's smoke, there's fire. 312-332-3776.
I wonder if they're in lockstep, Bill Polian and George McCaskey, with this hire. Or is Bill Polian suggesting other names, and
George is infatuated
George
with him?
Might have an infatuation, and he's heading a certain direction. Just wonder. Yeah. When it's all said and done, they might come out and say, this is a unified front, and this is what Bill and I thought. And if Bill didn't think that way, they throw him extra $100K, and all of a sudden, Bill's thinking that way.
Yeah, now I'm thinking that way.
Right.
What are your thoughts, Bears fans? And we want to talk about who they might be zeroing in on as coach coming up as well, and if that gets you excited. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
We're going to argue about Sammy Sosa again later. Yurko was looking at some of the numbers from the NFL. Not surprisingly, I mean, they were huge. We told you yesterday, like at one point in KC, 90% of the households were tuned into it. 90%.
Yeah, in Kansas City.
But the national number, Yurko said, peaked at a little over 50 schmil.
51 million is when it peaked, and that was in overtime. It wasn't a long overtime. The numbers were there, but it averaged like 42 million.
Just for context, I mean, 51 million is about half of a Super Bowl audience. Yeah, so this is a divisional round. I don't know what else on network television even. I mean, I guess The Bachelor still does well, right? What do they get, about 10 million? Is that, or am I way high on that?
I don't even know.
And The Bachelor
anymore.
Get about 10?
I don't know if anything gets anything anymore.
I mean, these NFL games are literally doing five times the audience of everything else on television.
Well, did you see of the 100 top rated shows last year?
How many were NFL games?
75.
I mean, 75?
75% of your 100 top-rated shows were football games.
They're doing five times the audience. And so when Waddle says Roger Goodell could walk to midfield and take a dump, and advertisers would pay, he's right.
Yeah.
And I would love to see that, by the way. I would love to see Roger Goodell go to midfield and take a dump. I don't want to see a close-up of it, Miller, but maybe from the stadium
from
cam
the
in
distance,
the corner.
I don't know, man. That's kind of weird. Funny. I don't even like to watch my dog poop. I have to turn my head away when my dog poops.
I'm telling you, this guy and these owners watching this action with their feet kicked up and their expensive scotch in their glass, just thinking about the gobs and gobs of money that continue to roll in with this new TV deal is going to be incredible. They're doing five times the audience of everything else. Peter is in Downers Grove on ESPN 1000. Hey, Peter.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
This is a little late, but back to the OT stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. Have at it.
Maybe the NFL should take a page out of the NHL. Play the full 10, and then have kickers kick 50-yard field goals until they miss.
Yeah, like at some point, maybe you have to get gimmicky. I just don't like getting, I don't know if it's gimmicky. I guess it is a little bit early on the way they've done it now. Well, you could score a touchdown and win, but if you kick a field goal, the other team gets. In the playoffs, I would give them 15. Forget 10. I'd give them the full 15. I'd give them an extra 15 in a playoff game. You could keep the regular season. I mean, look, it is what it is. Ties don't happen that often. It's fine. It doesn't matter as much. In the playoffs, you should play a full 15. Yes, it takes away your sudden death, but play it out. If somehow it's still tied, well, now you've had five quarters. Okay, I get it. You got to do a coin flip and play a sudden death. So be it. That's it. And at that point, I think even a field goal would win it for a team. If you get to a sixth quarter, right, even a field goal is going to win it for a team. I think people would be, I don't know, I feel like we're always going to complain about something, but I feel like that's a reasonable compromise. Play 15, play out the whole thing. Doesn't matter who scores or when. If it's still tied, then we can talk about a coin flip and sudden death.
Why do I have to compromise? I like what's there. I don't think there's a problem with the system in place. Don't let it go to overtime. You won't have an issue and you won't have a problem.
10 out of 11, that's though. It. I mean, that's pretty compelling that the team that wins the toss in the playoffs.
Doesn't matter to me.
That's a high percentage.
Does not matter.
Did you see what Lewis Riddick tweeted out, though, that the team that wins the coin, what was it, Jeff? The team that wins the coin toss only doesn't win on their first, only wins on the first drive 21% of the time.
No, but that's, I think he's, that's like, that may be in the playoffs since they've introduced, or it was 7 of 11.
Yeah, 7
right.
of 11.
7 of 11 emptied it
in the first possession.
In the first possession resulting
in
a touchdown.
And 10 of the 11 that won the toss ultimately won the game.
So I don't know what you have to get Lou's exact numbers. I don't know what.
Yeah, 7-11 is what's a lot higher than 20-something percent. I got news for Lewis.
We're trying to figure out what the hell. And
he's a smart guy, so I know he didn't say that. But by the way, Andy Reid thinks they should change it. You see what Andy said? Now maybe Andy's being a good sport.
Well, no, but Andy was victimized.
It goes back to the Patriots. Okay. Remember when the Patriots beat them in OT in the AFC Championship game
in 2018? That I'm sure is something they're going to look at again. Reid said, "I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's a hard thing." It was great for us last night, but is it great for the game, which is the most important thing we should all be looking out for? To make things equal, it probably needs to hit both offense and defense.
So did he say he was in favor of it or he's not opposed to it?
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I won't say no, but I'm not necessarily saying yes either.
Let me read his exact tweet.
Okay.
Of the 163 OT games, regular season and playoffs, under the current OT rules, Only 35 of the 163 were decided by TDs in the first possession of overtime. 21.5%. Yeah. Don't tell me coin flips are deciding games in OT. Strategy and execution does.
Well, but I know he's given a bigger sample size.
I don't like the regular season
being included into his calculus, though. It's not as big a factor for me in the regular season. I'm perfectly fine with the way it's set up right now for the regular season. But when you get to the playoffs,
it's 10 out of 11. I mean, I know that's a much smaller sample. You're right.
It's 7 of 11, but then 10 of 11
fair.
Ends up winning. Okay, but 7 of 11 with the opening touchdown is the one that you're concentrating on right now. But any statistician would offer that there's not a big enough sample size and you can't draw any conclusions off of anything right now.
It's pretty small.
Any stats guy would tell you that.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Lewis Riddick went to the bigger sample. And the bigger sample over the course of time, even though it is during the regular season, would dictate and tell you that, okay, that happens on a lot less frequency than it does in this small sample that you have in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the rule, I mean, it's different, too, because you approach things differently in the regular season versus the playoffs, right? Like, I want to win, but it's not my season's over if I tie or lose.
Right, I could settle for a tie during the regular season, yes.
And there's only 10 minutes now, so I don't even...
Benefited Pittsburgh, right? A tie this year?
It did. A tie did benefit Pittsburgh.
Benefited Pittsburgh this year, a tie.
Yeah. Robert's on the south side. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay. How are you?
Good. So, I don't see all the excitement for Dan Quinn. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Lot of excitement, Robert, though? Do you feel like there's a lot of excitement? I don't know.
Well, there's a buzz. There is a buzz out there.
Well.
Yeah. I just think that he got to a Super Bowl. And he had a good team in that Super Bowl. We had a coach that got to a Super Bowl and had an average offensive team who went up against three Hall of Famers. So, and competed. So, and no one's talking about hiring him. So I think that we should be looking at better candidates.
Robert, thanks, man. He's the
defensive coordinator down in Houston, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, Lovie Smith.
Well, what's all going on, though? Because Cully's out. What is...
I have no idea what's happening in Houston. Yeah. We all know that's a screwed-up situation, so...
I think I saw Jeff Hughes at the Bears blog tweet something to the effect of... Or maybe it was Weider. I can't remember. I apologize. Somebody I was reading yesterday on Twitter, one of the Bears guys, who had written that Quinn has been impressing teams with his answers, Yerk, to the questions of, like, what you would do differently. Apparently, not just the Bears, teams have been very impressed with Dan Quinn's approach through this, what he learned, what he would do differently, and I guess he's got, like, a dynamite staff set, like, locked and loaded.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is important. Look, he had Kyle Shanahan last time. We saw how important it was.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So I think that's why there is, I don't know that fans are totally jacked up about it, but I think there's some buzz growing in certain places that Dan Quinn's going to get a job here quickly because he's really wowing people in his interviews.
Breer said earlier today on Cap and Jay Hood that George Payton, who's the GM of the Broncos, has a very good relationship with Dan Quinn. Mm. And essentially that if Quinn wants the Broncos job, that'll be his. Also that Jerry Jones right now has to figure out, is it better to move on Dan Quinn, elevate him to head coach, and say goodbye to Mike McCarthy?
Good call.
In play as well.
Good call.
Because obviously Quinn would probably like to just stay in Dallas as the head coach if he could with that roster.
With Dak, why wouldn't you?
Micah Parsons. It's pretty good.
Still pretty good roster.
CeeDee Lamb. The whole roster's
loaded. The roster's good. It is amazing the way they fizzled
out. It's loaded.
Their roster is really good.
It's loaded, Carm.
Let's go to, let's take a break. We'll come back and grab more of your calls. Sit tight, everybody. We'll grab your calls coming up, 312-332-3776. Albert Breer was on, as he always is, on Tuesdays from SI.com with Cap and Hoodie. I want to play some of the highlights there, including why Sean Payton, it sounds like, will never come to coach his hometown team. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
This hour is brought to you by Twin Peaks, the ultimate sports lodge. Happy hours back. Get to Twin Peaks Monday through Friday from 2 to 7 p.m. and score sweet deals like dollar off all wine, liquor, cheap shots, and freezing cold 29-degree draft brews.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Oh, good song.
Is Zetterman going to start updating the sound beds now that he's the director of content?
It's already in motion.
Is it
friend.
Already in motion?
We've been collaborating. Yes.
Something tells me Zetterman put this one in. Or did you do this, Meller?
No, this was Danny Zetterman. I'm creating a list as well, but we are doing... Yeah, if you'd like to hear something, Carm, Yurko, we can...
Can I make a suggestion?
You,
or?
You can always make the suggestion.
You can make it. He knows my suggestions. They've already Warren come down Zevon. The pipeline. Yeah, more Zevon.
Can we put in, like, Summer Wind? Can we come back out of break with...
Oh, that, yeah.
Are we staying away from the old crooners? What? No Summer Wind? But this is a good choice,
no,
I think.
I think, you know, we need a little something that gets it's a little upbeat. You know, let's get a little pump going, you know.
A little pump.
Get everything happening for you.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for.
Hey, we got another hockey watch party happening tomorrow, Yurko. Offside. So that's a hockey bar, isn't it? Offsides in Woodridge.
You've got that right.
6:30 to 8:30 tomorrow. As Chicago takes on Detroit, the ESPN Chicago Street Team will be on site with the Nissan Titan, and you can enter to win a Coors Light prize pack. So go out and see the Street Team and watch the good old hockey game tomorrow.
The good old hockey game.
6:30 to 8:30 at Offsides. That's a good hockey bar in Woodridge. In Woodstock. Did I say Woodridge? Excuse me. Offsides is in Woodstock.
Woodstock. That's a little bit of a difference, Carmen.
You think? Yeah. By about 70 miles.
Woodstock.
I'm sorry if I said Woodridge.
Up north.
I can read. Offsides in Woodstock.
Name
me.
What movie was filmed in Woodstock.
That's easy. Groundhog Day.
Okay. All right. Fine.
The home of Joe Remke's Garage, I'll have you know.
I did not know that.
Oh, if you didn't know it, yeah. One of the finest garages in the world. Mm. You didn't know that?
No.
Joe Remke's Garage.
How'd they pick Woodstock for Punxsutawney?
The square in the middle.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they liked the square. It had a gazebo out there, the whole thing.
Also,
it looked archaic, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Old.
But Harold Ramis is from here, right?
He is.
I used to work out next to him at the Bally's.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Nice.
Yeah. May rest in peace.
Oh, congratulations.
When Chekhov saw the long winter, he saw a winter that was dark and bleak and bereft of hope. It's the best. I don't know how that movie. Yeah. I mean, that movie was a failure when it first came out, right? I mean, it was like the critics hated it. It captures
the essence of the thing, Reg. And then when you go back and watch it, I don't know how you kept track of it all.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know that.
And then the metamorphosis of the character from being the jerk that he was at the beginning. To the lovable, affable Bill Murray afterwards.
It is the definition of a rewatchable movie. I wonder if Simmons has done that on his great rewatchables podcast. I haven't heard all 200 of the ones they've done. Something tells me they probably have done that one. So, but it is the definition of a rewatchable movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little Chicago trivia, B-actor trivia. I'd even say bit actor trivia.
All right.
The cop that stops them from leaving.
Yes.
Tommy Milanovich. Okay.
Tommy Milanovich
owned Quad's Gym down in Calumet City,
him?
Illinois. That's Tommy Milanovich stopping them from leaving.
Telling him he's got to go back.
He's got to go back to hell the storm. Also, the guy that gets struck out Rookie of the Year from the New York Mets.
Really?
The big dude? Tommy Milanovich.
The guy's got a little acting career going.
He had an good acting career. A moment of silence for Tommy Milanovich. Thank you very much. Yeah. But just so people know.
I like that.
Yeah. Owner Quad's Gym on the south side with DeYoung, Dave DeYoung.
Let's say hi to Brian in Barrington. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Staying warm, I hope. Hey, just a real quick thing I wanted to run by you guys about this overtime. In all the games, maybe the playoffs only, whatever, but what if it's something like this? First team gets a field goal. Second team has to get a touchdown to win. First team gets a touchdown. They got to go for two to win the game. If they just get 7 points, the other team gets one shot down the field, but they got to go in the game, and if they don't get eight, they lose.
You know what the problem, I'll tell you right away, Brian? The players can't keep track if they can play to a tie or not. Now you're going to really start confusing them and all the coaches with these
rules. Confused.
It's too confusing, Brian. I think it's too gimmicky, you know? I guess there's something to be said for you have to match or bet. I don't know, but even that. Somebody had proposed, like, doing it in
the easiest way is a 15-minute
plays.
Right.
I agree with you.
15-minute overtime is the simplest way to do it.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I think that's the fairest
and
easiest.
If you don't have a winner after that, penalty shootout.
Yeah. Brian, thanks,
get
man.
The soccer goals out. Carl.
Let's go to Jeremy and get the soccer goals out.
Yep.
Put him on.
Penalty
There's got to be something we could do with kickers. Like, they have to hit the upright. You know, let's get nuts. because those guys can't do that. You know, it's like a hockey player hitting the post or the crossbar. I mean, they practice it. They can do it. You know, we should have. Oh, we're going to put Robbie on, by the way. He's on every other show today. Let's put Robbie on. Can we replay Cap's interview and Hoodie's interview with Robbie?
Let's do. Let's bring back Critics at Extra Large tomorrow and play both interview and see which one was better.
Let's do a dueling banjos for tomorrow. Can we do a deliverance with the two, or is that too much work? Come on, Mellor. Let's do it.
We can possibly do it. I think it depends on what happens right now with the Bears and if they make any announcements with their GM.
Right. I'd love to see like a deliverance style Robbie Gould thing happen.
That would preempt everything.
Jeremy's in the city. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, guys. I was calling. I'm actually not even a Bears fan. I'm a Chiefs fan, but calling to ask about the NFL coaches. Yeah. I'll bring up the enemy in a second, but with all your guys looking for a new coach, why are you guys interested in the coaches like Dan Quinn, Caldwell, Peterson? Like, why would you want those guys over someone like Daboll, who's unproved to have upside?
I'm with you. I think Brian Daboll makes a lot of sense because of what he's doing. I tried to talk about this yesterday, Jeremy, and it's hard to answer. I don't know how you do answer it. What's right? What's wrong? Like, who's most responsible for Allen? Is it all Josh Allen? Is it Ken Dorsey a little bit? Is it? I don't really know. But Daboll, what I do know is that he's been there overseeing their offense the last couple of years, and their offense is everything you want a modern offense to be in terms of play calling. And that quarterback has risen to an elite level.
Doug Peterson at one point was considered Brian Daboll. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think when he got hired, pretty good. Yeah.
He was the hot coordinator.
Yeah. I do think Doug's good at his job.
He'll go back 4 years now or 4 years later.
Yeah.
He's no longer the hot coordinator. Daboll is, but that doesn't mean Doug Peterson doesn't understand football.
I think Doug's pretty good at calling plays. I do think that.
So, could I ask you this then? So, with that being said, everyone's always talking about Bieniemy as another head coach candidate. We've pumped out Nagy, who did win coach of the year, but you guys wanted to get rid of him. Doug Peterson brought him to a Super Bowl, but I don't know how many people really want him. I feel like when everything is going right, people praise Bieniemy, but when everything comes down to crunch time, as a Chiefs fan, we're always like, what's Andy going to draw up here?
Yeah.
So how much credit do you really give to Bieniemy?
That's the hard thing when you're not, you know, doing it as a coordinator opposite of what the head coach is, right, Jeremy? I mean, that's why Daboll gets, I think people are more infatuated with Daboll, and we've pointed this out, because he is in total control of the offense. It's not Sean McDermott. It's not Les Frazier. This is Brian Daboll.
That's him.
Bieniemy sort of unfairly, I think, gets lumped into, well, he's just with Andy. Now, we learned that hard and true here in Chicago. Guess what? Matt Nagy, it was because of Andy Reid. That doesn't mean that Bieniemy can't do it or that he's not better.
Right.
I do want to know who's in charge of the gimmicky play down near the goal line where they don't let Patrick Mahomes touch the football. That's nonsense. You got to throw that out. Andy.
Was that Santa Slay?
I don't know what it was, but I'm not sure when coaches are. Listen, if Ryan Tannehill's your quarterback, fine. If Sam Darnold is your quarterback, fine. These coaches have to get out of, let's run the Wildcat now and not have Patrick Mahomes, the best player in football, maybe touch the football on fourth down. Are you kidding?
Best player on your team to have the football in the hands to make the decisions that need to be made.
It would honestly, here's the equivalent.
That makes a lot of sense.
Here's the equivalent. It would be the defensive coordinator saying on third and 13, let's get Reggie White off the field.
Yeah.
They're going for it on fourth and three. Wait, hold on. Take Aaron Donald off the field.
Yeah.
That's basically what these coaches are doing. They're a lot smarter than me. I get it. But come on, guys. You should never have Patrick Mahomes not touching the ball when you need to convert a big third or fourth down. If your quarterback, his last name is Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Wilson,
Trubisky.
Tells me that guy should be touching the football.
If you have a sudden change and you want to come off, like you force a turnover, you get the ball at the 45, and you want to do something screwy, feel free.
Okay.
First and 10, you want to do something screwy, go ahead. Third and 10, don't do it.
Right. Thank you, Yerk. Third and 15, the game's on. Take Reggie out. We don't need Reggie White on the field. We'll be back in 2 minutes.